And welcome to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and we highlight family businesses from across the St. Louis region, thanks to our sponsor, CMA Consulting, and also thanks to Ferguson Roofing, a contributing sponsor to this program. Dan Bean joins us from CMA this weekend, also alongside Shane Grasser from Grasser Electric. We'll hear about the founding of the company, how he gets along with his father, and of course his brother, and maybe the next generation. And if you're a family business or you know about a family business that would like to highlight their story on this program, make sure to reach out to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. The website, cmaconsult.com. Just send him an email.
It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
Let's talk about your father. He founded the business in 1975. What was it like for him to start the business? Because you would have been alive in 1975.
Right.
Do you remember him starting the business?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember him getting started. He worked as an electrician, my entire life. And I can remember him always driving a service truck for other companies and everything. And he had tried to do a couple other things in business that didn't work out so well. And his trade was always an electrician. And he had an opportunity to start his own business. And everything went well. So
for his sake, he was already looking to become a business owner. Like, he just wanted to find the right thing.
You know, I think he was. Like I say, the stuff that he did, just wasn't quite successful. Wasn't that he lost a lot of money with it or anything else, but it just wasn't his thing. Mm-hmm. And like I say, he'd always been an electrician, and that was kind of a natural thing for him.
Did your dad work out of the house when he started?
He did. Yeah. Worked out of the house for quite a while. He worked out of the basement for a long time, mm-hmm. worked out of the garage. He built an additional two-car garage onto the house so that we could store materials and mm-hmm. stuff there for a long time. And that probably went on for 5 or 6 years before he moved out of the house and moved into an office.
What did your mom think about all that? Do you remember?
I think she was good with it. Yeah. She just, always probably concerned about financial issues and that kind of thing. You have natural concerns about that, but she was good with it all.
Yeah. Is your mom involved in the business at all?
No, not at all.
No, so it was completely your dad.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have one brother and one sister.
Oh, okay. So they were living at home at that point too?
Yep. They were, my sister's older than me and my brother's a little younger than me. And we were all at home at that time.
So did you have to measure wire and help your dad in any way growing up?
No, not really. I'd help him every once in a while just as a kid, moving stuff to the garage or moving stuff to the basement, that kind of thing when he stored materials there.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't. Now, in high school, I worked in mm-hmm. the summer times.
Okay. Did you like that job?
I did at the time. I liked the money more than anything else, but we're a union company, and I'd get a permit to work in the summer times. And so, as a high school kid, the money was awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
So, yeah.
And your dad employed other people at the time, or was he just family?
No, he had other people working at that time.
Okay.
So.
Out of the garage.
Out of the garage, yeah.
Where was the location, the first location he moved to?
Off of Boone Hills Drive in St. Peter's.
Oh, okay. Is that where you guys are located now?
We're actually just down the street from there. So,
oh, okay.
So, didn't move too far.
Yeah. When your dad continued to grow the business, let's talk about that, because he's still involved with it today. How old is he?
He's 88 years old.
88, still very active.
Yeah, he comes in every day. He gets in there 4:30, 5 o'clock, gets coffee going, and I'll get in there a little after 5, and we kind of sit around and talk. It's kind of nice to have an opportunity to go in there and just talk with him,
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And he makes deliveries. He does a few things. He's not really involved with the day-to-day decisions of the business or anything like that, but at the same time, it's really nice to have him around.
So he's not climbing in attics or anything like that anymore.
No. Those days are long behind you.
But he makes probably a great pot of coffee.
He does. Yeah. He makes a real good pot of coffee.
Well, there had to have been a lot you've learned over the years from him, because you're an electrician now. So after high school, is that what you studied? Is that what you want to get into? Or what happened after high school?
After high school, I was kind of looking at several different things. And life happens. All of a sudden, you get an opportunity to work as an electrician. I wasn't sure if that's what I wanted to do. And then next thing you know, you got bills, you got commitments. I got married when I was 20 years old, mm-hmm. and by that point, I knew I wasn't going to do anything else. That was what I was going to do. But right out of high school, I wasn't quite sure,
Well, at the time, the money was good, and they treated you well. It was your dad's company and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was probably still growing at that time, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about the growth of the company. What have you seen over the course of the years, and when did it really, for your sake, when did you see it really catch on where you started to like see a boom in growth?
You know, there's been, over the years, we've had periods of growth and then periods where the economy would slow down a little bit and we'd slow back down. Mm-hmm. The business really started to grow after 2000. Prior to that, we were, and we still aren't a huge company. I would call us more of an average size company. Mm-hmm. But probably prior to 2000, we'd have maybe a dozen, 15 electricians, something like that.
Okay. So. Shane Grasser from Grasser Electric. Let's talk, too, about the things you learned when you first started. What were some of those lessons your dad was trying to instill in you at a young age?
You know, just work hard. Yeah. Work hard, have good work ethics, be polite, deal with customers, you know, properly, that kind of thing. Work with the guys that you're working with, you know, and it was really just more of a respect and work ethics kind of a thing that that he was teaching me. I didn't really work with my dad as an electrician. Mm-hmm. I worked with him probably a handful of days over all the years. I always worked with somebody else. And that might have been just because, you know, had he and I been working together in the field, it may not have gone too well, you know. But
we will talk about that. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. You know, when sometimes industries change, you know, technology changes, the way you do things change in a community. But the skill set that he learned from his dad, the respect for the customer, things like that, that's timeless, isn't it?
It's enduring, and they're very important lessons to learn. Everybody has to learn their trade or the skill set that's required to do the day-to-day job they have, but knowing how to treat people, both customers and employees, that's a skill that a lot of people don't learn as soon in life as they should.
Yeah. Shane Grasser from Grasser Electric. Let's talk about your relationship with your dad. So how did that develop over the years? And was there a point where maybe you and your dad started talking about, you know, one day I'll be ready to hand over the company?
Yeah, you know, he always talked about passing the company on to, you know, me or my brother and his sister, that kind of thing. But when we were working initially, you know, there were some rocky times. You'd kind of butt heads here and there, you know. But then as time goes on, everybody kind of gets to, I guess, maturing a little bit and that kind of thing and start getting along a little bit better. But even from day one, he talked about, you know, trying to pass the company on. And I think he saw, you know, in the future, other generations, mm-hmm. other family generations owning the business. And that's what I guess everybody who opens a business, you want to think about your children having it, your grandchildren having it, and so forth.
Your brother and sister, are they in the company now?
My brother works for me. My sister never worked for the company. My brother's been working for the company since he was probably 20 years old.
Okay. So did he also have interest at an early age, or did he just join on because, you know, he needed the job and he kind of saw it was a nice job?
You know, he went to college and he was kind of on the fence about what he wanted to do in life. And I guess ultimately he made a decision to go to be an electrician. He went to college for a couple of years and I guess decided that wasn't quite his thing.
I want to know, actually, how does someone become an electrician? We'll talk to Shane Grasser about that next from Grasser Electric. It's on the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting. And if you've listened to this show before, you already know that 2/3 of family businesses do not make the generational transition. That means when it's time for a family business owner to step down, most family businesses, they might have an idea of who the successor may be, or maybe they know who they want the successor to be, or maybe they have no idea. Part of the problem is very few business owners actively work to unify the next generation, develop them into effective owners, to put a game plan in place, make sure you're following it. Let me tell you about CMA Consulting and their Business of Family Business Ownership Program. They have sessions designed to open up the topic, support effective family business ownership, and unify the next generation with experts providing the content, facilitating those conversations. When was the last time the members of your family discussed how to apply insights into the family business? You know how powerful it is to just ask the question and see where it goes. Talk to our friends at CMA Consulting. CMAconsult.com is the website, or call 314-721-1860. It doesn't hurt to call and talk to them and ask the question, what can you do to help my family business? The website, CMAconsult.com.
It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
back to the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We're in studio with Dan Bean from CMA, also Shane Grasser from Grasser Electric. And if you know a family business that should tell their story on this program, reach out to Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com. So let me ask you this, Shane. When it comes to the different types of ways, I guess, you can be certified or be qualified to be an electrician, there's kind of different routes you can go in. There's routes through the union. There's routes to get certified maybe through the state. Can you kind of explain those different ways?
Yeah, you know, the union offers apprenticeships, and they offer apprenticeships. There's a lot of different things in the electrical industry. It might be residential, it might be commercial, industrial. There's a lot of technology-based things. But the union offers apprenticeships and all of those things.
So that's like a path. That's a path where you can learn on
correct,
the job.
Correct. And then you end up being a journeyman electrician. Now, as far as the contractor, the contractor has to meet certain requirements to be able to take the test to get a license. And once you that requirement, I think it's 10,000 hours of field experience or supervision, and then you're allowed to take a test if you'd like to ever be a contractor.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the different municipalities require testing. So, say St. Louis County is a separate license, and St. Louis City, St. Charles County is a separate license. And as a contractor, you need to be licensed in all those locations.
I had to do a quick thing. So 10,000 hours is how many? Is that a long time?
5 years.
5 years.
5 years, yeah. That's, it says about 250 weeks or something like that. Yeah, I guess that would add out. So, you, I mean, it's something you have to really show dedication to. It's not something you can just learn very quickly over the course of a summer, or at least get to the point where you can be licensed.
Correct.
Yeah. So what are the things you learned during that period?
Well, you'd learn the basics of how electricity works. You'd learn how to safely install it so that it's working properly. There's everything from, you know, just receptacles in the wall to the service on a house or the service on a building. You might learn how to hook up equipment and lighting. There's a lot of technology nowadays where you have dimming systems and that type of thing that are controlling the lights. The electrical industry is such that you never learn at all. You could be in this trade for 50 years and you're still learning. You know, you may not learn things every day, but you're still going to be learning.
So what would be the biggest change that you've seen over the course of the last couple of decades?
Oh, I think the industry's changed quite a bit. Electricity's changed a lot over the years. I mean, there's the old knob and tube wiring. There's aluminum wiring. There's a couple different types of panels that they recommend that you remove from your house. Federal Pacific is one of those. And then there's another one.
I remember when I was doing home searching in the area, I remember walking through with the realtor and they'd be like, this one needs to come out. We know that already. If you were to buy the house, you got to make that change. So I think even realtors realize a lot of these things you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. They'll usually do a home inspection and it's not uncommon to get a list. You know, somebody's buying a house and they'll contact us and say that these things failed the home inspection and they'd like us to go out and make corrections, that kind of thing. But houses today are built in such a way that they're far superior to what they were just in the 70s and 80s. They're the safest, best-built homes out there ever. And same way with commercial construction also.
What are some of the things that you see are common when people are going through a home and you get that call because they say, okay, this needs to be updated because the standards have changed since 1970?
It could be anything from GFI receptacles, GFI protection in the kitchen and the bathrooms and that type of thing. Might be smoke detectors. There's a lot more smoke detectors required in a home now, and also, carbon monoxide smoke detector combinations that are required. Could be the panel doesn't meet the standards. And like I say, there's a couple of them out there that they recommend you remove or replace. It could be the old two-wire systems where there's the receptacle doesn't have a ground prong, you know. There's just a lot of things that they used to do that they don't do anymore.
Yeah. Shane Grasser from Grasser Electric, what would be like the bulk of the work that you get called out to do? Is there something that people would normally call you for because that's what you're known for? Or do you find yourself just, you get called for everything?
We kind of get called for everything. We get calls for standby generators. We get calls because somebody wants to add a little bit of lighting. They may want to add a receptacle here or there. They may want to add some kind of data or communications jack or television in their house. It just really depends. We get calls for quite a bit of stuff. And then we do a lot of commercial work and a lot of commercial service, too, where people may call and want a new piece of equipment hooked up in their business, you know? So
yeah.
It just really depends.
So what kind of value do you guys put into training the employees? Because how many employees do you have now?
We run about 50 people between the office staff and the electricians in the field. We usually have about 50.
Is that mostly done through the union, or do you guys have to do training occasionally?
Well, we do hire 100% union electricians, but those electricians do continued education a lot of times. The union offers classes in various aspects of the electrical industry, and so those guys are always learning more new, more things, new education all the time.
Yeah. Shane, I got to ask you this too. You mentioned your father there before, so let's talk about the working relationship you had with your father. And when did you start discussions with him for perhaps having a transition in the business, the one he founded back in 1975, to where you are today?
I guess it was probably the early to mid-90s we started talking about it. I ended up buying the business from him in 2000. So the conversation went on for a while. And then when he was ready to retire, as I say, he really didn't retire. He retired for about a month or two and came to me and said he couldn't handle that and needed to come back to work. But, like I said, I did buy it in 2000, and we probably talked for 5 or 6 years off and on about it and how we'd go about it and everything. But it was a pretty lengthy thing.
I do want to hear more about the what went into it and what went into the decision-making and how that impacted your brother and sister. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you just heard 5 or 6 years. It takes a while when it comes time to a transition, and trying to plot it out, plan it out properly. It's not just something you can really do overnight unless there's an emergency.
The emergency does happen, and everybody has to be prepared for that, obviously. If there's not an emergency, then it usually does take 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And often mom or dad will say, yes, I'm going to transition the business in 5 years. And they will stay that story for 5 years. And then maybe the timeline starts. So they are consistent. Mm-hmm. I'll do it in 5 years, year after year after year. That's what they say. But it does take time. It's a big event in a family. It's a big event, especially for a founder. But it's a big event for any CEO to let go of the business and turn it over. I had one family we were working with, and he was going to turn the business over to his son-in-law. It was a planned transition, and I told him the son-in-law was ready, and it was time to let the business go. And he said, you know, it was easier for me to give the daughter to that kid than to give him the keys to the business. And if you say I told you that, I'm going to deny it. So that tells you something about how hard it is for a business owner to let go of the business.
Yeah.
And it's no surprise that Shane's father, that conversation went on 5 or 6 years before anything happened.
I want to learn about that conversation, what it was like after Shane's father decided that it was time to sell the business. We'll continue with the business of family business and our guest Grasser Electric and Shane Grasser in studio next on KMOX. Back to the business of family business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and Shane Grasser from Grasser Electric joins us this weekend. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. And if you know a family business or you are part of a family business and you would like to tell your story on this program, reach out to Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com. Let's go back during that transition time. Did maybe your brother, who was also involved in the business at the time, did he consider maybe some partial ownership, or did your dad want to see something like that happen where maybe both of you had some ownership stake?
Well, you know, he had given part of the business to my sister, my brother, and myself.
Okay.
And
so this is before you started talks?
You know, I'm not really sure when he did that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we started talking when he was probably in his early to mid-60s. Mm-hmm. And then I actually bought the business from him when he was 70. So, I mean, it was, I hate to say it was time for him to step aside, but I felt it was time for him to step aside anyway, you know. But they had part ownership in it. My sister never worked there, and my brother had other priorities in his life, and, you know, running a business or anything wasn't what he really had in mind. So they both agreed to sell me their shares.
Okay.
And I bought their shares and my parents' shares at the same time.
Okay. So you became at that point a 100% ownership in the company.
Correct.
Like your dad or none of your other brother or sister, they decided that they just wanted to sell.
Correct.
Okay. So at that point, is that what you wanted? You want for you, you wanted to be full owner.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. That's what I was looking to do. You know, I didn't want to, I hate to say it almost, but at the same time, I didn't really want to grow the business only to create more expense for me to buy at some point, you know?
And, yeah.
Like I said, I really wanted to see the company go in a different direction.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, this whole process that they went through, is that pretty common?
So Shane's comment about, I don't want to grow the business because it just costs me more money to buy it from my father. That is a very common perspective that the next generation has. If they have to buy the business, if they're going to be gifted the business, it's fine that the business grow in that case. What's important is to try to work out a system whereby growth benefits both generations mm-hmm. simultaneously. Therefore, their interests are aligned. It's not always easy to do that, but in that case, if that had been done, then Shane and his father both would have wanted growth. And it helps the business that much more, and it mm-hmm. helps Shane and his father both that much more mm-hmm. if that kind of system can be worked out.
Yeah. So you were ready, Shane. Was your dad ready? Or did he feel forced?
No, I don't know that he really felt forced, but I think at the same time, had I not kind of pushed him a little bit, I don't think he would have ever stepped up and sold the business mm-hmm. to me. You know, even though he talked about it a lot,
yeah.
you know, it was just something that it was a little rough for him to let it go. You know, I mean, he had started it. He'd been there, you know, for years and years, and mm-hmm. It was a little rough for him to let it go. But
yeah,
like I said, I don't really think he felt like he was forced at all.
When you started the process of talking about this and your dad maybe got more serious about, okay, it's time and you're going through the process of figuring this out, did you guys have a hard time during that transition period? Did it flow pretty well?
It went really well. Once the decision was made to do it, it went very well. We ended up having to get an accountant who hired a third party to do an appraisal, and
okay.
that was all because we wanted to be fair to my brother and sister and my parents. Also, we needed to do that for tax purposes mm-hmm. so we could never, they wouldn't come back and say, oh, well, the business was worth a lot more or this or that. So we got an appraisal, and then we worked out a payment plan, and everything went pretty fast after the decision was made to do it. So,
did you accept the appraisal?
Yeah, there wasn't really any argument there.
No.
I mean,
mm-hmm. But okay, so it seems like things went pretty smooth at that point. Did your dad ever take a break after selling, or did he just continue on?
You know, like I say, he
just a couple months, and that was
tried
it.
To retire for a couple months, and then he couldn't handle it. You know, I tell you, most of his friends he met through business. I mm-hmm. mean, you know, a lot of his friends now are gone. You know, my dad, like I say, he's 88 years old, and unfortunately, when you're blessed with a long life, sometimes you end up losing a lot of your friends. Mm-hmm. You know. But when he retired, the friends that he had met and gotten to know through business. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of natural to stick around for a while.
Shane Grasser from Grasser Electric. Does your dad have any tips for longevity? Does he have any things he says, this is why I've been able to last as long as I have? It's always a black cup of coffee in the morning, and that'll do you.
No, not really. He's got a lot of things he says, but I don't know if I can put any of them on the radio. So,
you say your brother still works inside the company.
He does. Yep. He does quite a bit of stuff for us. He's a key person there at the office. He doesn't really work in the office. He works in the field, but he's a real technical kind of person, mm-hmm. and he handles a lot of the technical stuff that we have at work.
Do you have a good relationship with your brother?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. We get along very well.
Is it weird that your brother works for you? Is there any times where that's weird?
I don't think it is. No. I don't think he does. We've never really had any issues or any problems. We get along very well.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, the path to ownership, how does this compare to other family businesses?
They did a good job, and getting a third-party appraisal or valuation mm-hmm. is a way to try to get a good estimate of the value. Sometimes those valuations are done for estate planning, in which case intentionally a lower number comes back
mm-hmm.
To minimize taxes,
mm-hmm.
and that's an accepted practice. And when you're trying to understand the value of a transaction between family members or between partners in a business, you want to hit the fairest possible number you can.
Mm-hmm.
But evaluation is always somebody's opinion based on methodology and based on data about the business. And you people of goodwill can come up with different values. Mm-hmm. And so there usually is some negotiation around that. And then the other condition where you get the really high numbers when you sell a business and you have a strategic buyer, mm-hmm. and they're willing to pay a premium well above market value, mm-hmm. to buy your business. So that's the three outcomes of evaluation. Estate planning is lower. The transaction between family members or business partners is the fairest possible, and the strategic sell is the highest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You talked about taxes, so let me ask you about the 2018. There's a change in tax code. Has that benefited your company?
I believe it will. I talked to our accountants about it, and I think we are going to benefit from it. So
great.
Very optimistic.
Grasser Electric, you guys are located in St. Peter's, but you service a pretty large area. So what's your service area?
Pretty much anywhere in the St. Louis metro area. We'll go south, we go into Illinois, we go north. Local One, the IBEW that we're a member of, Local One, their area goes quite a ways. And then once you get into Illinois, there's a couple other locals over there that we'll go into and work occasionally.
Yeah.
So we go just about anywhere our customers, anybody that calls, that's where we go.
You keep busy.
We do.
Is this a busy time?
You know what? We're actually in a slight bit of a lull, but I think it's only weather related. Our customers are very optimistic. We've got a lot of work on the books, and I expect to be very busy very soon.
Yeah. Shane Grasser from Grasser Electrics. What is the busy season for you guys?
You know,
it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell. In recent years, it's been all year long, really, you know, but like I say, this year, the winter's been a little bit different. We had that really cold snap there and kind of affected things, and we're coming out of it now, I think.
Yeah. Do you have any kids?
I do. I have four sons. Oh. My oldest one works at the company with me.
Great. How old is he?
My oldest son is 32.
Okay.
And the other three, they don't even live in the area anymore. One of them lives in Ohio. That's where his wife's from. And then the other two live in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. When one of them got out of college, he couldn't find a job around here, so he got a job in Kansas City. And then the younger one got out of college, and he decided to go out and room with rent an apartment with the one, mm-hmm. the other one that was in Kansas City. So, like I said, the only one that even lives around here anymore is my oldest son, and he works with me. So it's nice I get a chance to see him every day.
Did he show an early interest in the company?
You know, he did. They all grew up around the business because I was involved in it, obviously, and so they all grew up around the business, and he was interested in it from an early age.
We'll continue one more time with Shane Grasser and Grasser Electric on this weekend's edition of The Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. As you hear these stories of family businesses, you know that they have a lot on their plate, and they also have other family members to think of. And if you're a family business owner, you know what it's like when maybe you're thinking about retirement. Maybe you're thinking about down the road. What's going to happen to me when it's time for me to step aside? Do I sell to an outside party? Do I look at a family member? What do I do? It's a big conversation to have, and it's a lot to consider. I would recommend you reach out to CMA Consulting. They lead a multidisciplinary team to help your family business unify the next generation, because part of that is developing whoever that person is to become effective owners. They have the talent experts, the tax, the accounting, the legal, the banking, the risk management. They go over it, and they put a plan together. That's very important to have a plan. Contact CMA for a complimentary, no-obligation meeting. They'll discuss your family business or maybe an upcoming transition. Go to cmaconsult.com or give them a call at 314-721-1860 to see if this program is right for you and your family business. Again, the website every family business should know, cmaconsult.com.
It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
We're back one more time this hour on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting, in studio with Dan Bean from CMA. And also want to give a thank you to Shane Grasser from Grasser Electric. And if you have a family business in mind that would like to tell their story on this program, it's very easy. Just reach out to Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com. Let them know you're interested. Strategically speaking with Grasser Electric, well, how do you guys make decisions based on things you want to do in the future to grow the business?
You know, it kind of depends. Some stuff kind of falls into your lap almost. You know, we've been blessed with a lot of good customers, and they kind of seem to come to us. We really don't go out and look for a lot of work. But there are occasional times when we decide to move into a different direction and maybe start offering other services. And that's usually a conversation with myself and my son and maybe one or two other key people there at the company.
Mm-hmm. Shane, do you like Mike Rowe? Do you know who he is?
I do. I like Mike Rowe. He's got a podcast. He's got a couple shows out there. I always enjoyed Dirtiest Jobs.
Yeah. Know, He's got a good philosophy, I think, when it comes to finding the things that you're meant to do, mm-hmm. I guess. Did you feel like you were meant to do this?
You know, it all worked out very, very well. I don't know that I was meant to do it, but I surely, you know, didn't have any hesitations towards it either.
Yeah.
Like I said, I wasn't sure really what I wanted to do, but I always enjoyed it.
So. Yeah. So after high school, you just continued to work. You didn't go to college, though.
Did not go to college. Yeah. You know, school was not my thing. I could not wait to get out of high school. I don't think that a person needs to go to college, really, to go out and do well in life,
yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah, you had opportunities, and you took advantage of those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you'd go back and change anything, would you?
No, yeah. Not at all. You know, I tell you, a lot of people that go to college, three of my sons went to college, and they're all doing well in life. They're all successful, and I don't think there's any regrets there. But, you know, a lot of the young people go into college and have a lot of debt when we come out of it, where the electrical industry and a lot of construction trades in general, you get on there as an apprentice and you get paid to learn the trade that you're doing. So not only are you not spending any money on that education, but you're getting paid to learn the trade.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, can you kind of talk about some of the different paths that business owners take?
So some businesses, if you want to run those, you do need a college degree. Some mm-hmm. you need a graduate degree. But in the construction trades and a lot of manufacturing and a lot of distribution firms, you do not need a college degree. And the construction trades, I think Shane did a very good job of describing it. You get paid to be an apprentice. You get paid to learn your craft.
Mm-hmm.
And the unions in St. Louis do a very good job of training their workers. The quality of St. Louis construction ranks up there at the top of the list with any city in the country. The quality of construction here mm-hmm. done by union craftspeople is extremely good. And I don't think you have to have that college degree. And the construction trades is a very good alternative if you're not cut out to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a business owner and you can have a very good lifestyle and you can build a business and you can sell that business at some point or transfer it to your family and create a legacy. And so it does offer a very viable opportunity to those that don't fit in the college classroom.
Let me ask you, Shane Grasser from Grasser Electric, what are some of those lessons you've learned as a business owner over the course of the years that may be beneficial for people to hear?
Oh, I tell you what, there's a lot of things you learn. You know, I've told my kids before I didn't go to college, but my education costs a lot more than theirs did. You learn things not to do. I would encourage people to check into a lot of stuff before you go out and just kind of jump into a decision and jump into whether it be an investment or some type of business. You want to do your homework on it a little bit and mm-hmm. find out as much as you can. But I don't know. I'm sure that if I sat here and thought about it for a while, I could have a lot of different things that would be examples of that. But
well, I guess as a business owner, you probably come up with a lot of decisions that you make, and some of them work out, some of them don't. What about the fear of failure? Do you feel like you've ever been afraid to take a risk because of failure?
No, not really. You know, I tell you what, it's more of a thing. I guess everybody feels a responsibility that when you have a family, you have to make sure that you provide for them. So there might be a little bit of fear there where you don't want to stick your neck out there and do something that could possibly have such a negative effect that would impact your family.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, the old saying, you're never going to hit a home run if you don't step up to the plate, you know.
Yeah.
So I've never really been afraid of taking chances and that type of thing. Like I say, some of them in hindsight, I wish I wouldn't have, but you learn from all of those, you know, and you just move on to the bigger and better things, and hopefully you don't make those mistakes twice.
Right. There's a lot of different types of needs, I guess, when it comes to an electrician. So you have the residential, which I think most people are most familiar with. If they're a homeowner, they know those problems that arise in their house and they need to work things. If you're someone that is a business owner, you may be more commercial, and there's other industrial too. So there's wide ranges of different needs, I guess, in the community. Can you kind of explain what you would do for those?
Yeah, we do residential, commercial, industrial, and service work. Mm-hmm. You know, and all of that is new construction and remodeling, that, you know, our existing buildings and existing businesses. The residential is just what it says, you know, or what it, people's homes and that type of thing. The industrial is more of, you know, machinery and equipment, that type of thing for businesses, and commercial could be anything from a strip center, you know, shopping center kind of thing, to office buildings or what have you. We work in all of those things and do all of that. You know, when the economy took that downturn back in 07, 08, we were doing a lot of residential work and a lot of commercial work, but we really weren't as diverse as we could be. And when that happened, we started to become a lot more diverse. We took anything and everything that we possibly could. And a lot of the service work that we do now, we used to turn that away and not do it. Now we love to get as much service work as we can. We'll do anything if somebody calls us, you know, from basically just adding a receptacle to, you know, wiring a new home. Or, you know, we do a lot of commercial service work also.
Right.
So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we answer the phone and we can do anything anybody needs. But like I say, we try to be as diverse as possible.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Grass or electric?
Yep.
How many, what's the, you always get calls? Do you ever get emergency calls at night?
We do. We do get emergency calls. The woman who answers the phone does a pretty good job of, actually a couple different people kind of take turns at it, but
discerning the level of emergency.
They do. They do. You know, a lot of people that assume they have an emergency when they make the phone call, talk to her for a couple of minutes and they realize, okay, this is something that can wait till Monday morning, you know.
Calm down a little, you know.
Exactly. But we do go out on those calls a lot of times. But it's obviously going to cost a lot more money if I got to get somebody out of bed at 11 o'clock at night to go take care of it.
Well, sure, yeah.
So if it can wait till the next morning, then that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. What would be an emergency? Like, what would be an emergency call?
You know, we've had people where the storm maybe tore the service off of the house, that type of thing.
Okay, yeah.
Or, you know, it may be something where they don't have heat, you know, even though we don't necessarily work on furnaces or air conditioners, we wire them, obviously, and so we'll occasionally get those type of calls where it's an electrical issue why they don't have heat. It's just various different things that people, you know, some people could live with that and they don't need the heat. They'll plug in a space heater and get by for a while.
Yeah.
Other people, you know, you got to have it right now.
Depends. It all depends.
It all depends upon the situation. One person's emergency is no big deal to somebody else.
So. It'd be hard for me to convince my wife to go without heat during the winter. So, and then if it's just a single guy, I got to imagine, he's like, I'll put on a couple extra hoodies and we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. What are your thoughts after hearing Shane's story today?
One, a very successful business. Family businesses are a lot of the backbone of this economy, particularly in the St. Louis area. So they are the economic engine. The trail of ownership from G1, the founder generation, to G2, a little bit unique in that it went to all three children of the founder, and then Shane bought out his father and then bought out his siblings. That's a little bit unique. And the other thing I would want to underscore is with a high school degree, Shane bought the business and has been very successful, provides a way for 50 families to support themselves, and has a business he can pass on to the next generation of his family if they want to be involved. And it's a great success story. Hats off to him.
Shane Grasser, Grasser Electric. It was a pleasure to talk to you here today. Thanks for sharing your story on the Business of Family Business.
Well, thank you very much for having me here.
And another special thanks to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, also contributing sponsor Ferguson Roofing on this edition of the Business of Family Business. Join us again next week. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We'll see you soon.